My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Now, it's Jeffrey Wright and Company.
Tell your story.
Live on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter, on X at JWright929 ESPN. As always, if you're in market, you can listen right here on the radio dial, 92.9 FM ESPN, or you can listen on 680 AM. But if you want to keep up, maybe you're out of market. Maybe you are not near a radio dial. You can always download the Odyssey app. It's free to download. It's free to listen to all the great content here on 92.9 FM ESPN. If you miss anything, you can even rewind, and you can listen to all the great Odyssey stations throughout the country. Make sure you download the app today. Dennis Fuller's producing the program for us. Glad that he is with us. My company this week is the host for the Locked On Podcast Network. Also does play-by-play work. College hoops, college baseball for ESPN. Follow him on Twitter, on X, at Lennox, on baseball. Steve Lennox, good day, sir.
Hello, hello. I love your welcome, 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 by the way. That hello, hello, that was completely off the cuff and just kind of came out. But I love how you intro the show. I really do.
I ripped it from John Oliver.
That's all right.
But I say it with a southern accent rather than a British accent. So it people,
works for me.
People don't really notice it. So that's a big win. So let's tell everybody what we got coming up on the program. It's Wednesdays. So that means we'll do buy, sell, short, or go to Reddit. We'll explain the game for Steve. We will play. Let's talk some Ja Morant. Let's talk some Sam Darnold. Let's talk some first pitches. And, of course, a topic that appears to be taking the internet streets by storm, fall weddings. We'll discuss all of that momentarily. David Cobb going to join us like he does each and every Wednesday. I was scrolling over ESPN Bet, and there's some fun win totals, alternate win totals, but more importantly, there's also a fun alternate, or I should say fun head-to-head season win total matchup between the Vols and the Tigers. Want to discuss that with Cobb, talk some college football and more. We'll do that here in about 30 minutes or so. We'll get into the list. We've got news that the Memphis Grizzlies will be opening training camp, not in Memphis, but in Nashville. We'll discuss that news. Also, Juan Soto has a 3-home-run game last night. I want to talk about it with Steve because I think it's something that should probably never happen. We got Charles Barkley saying that he's given up $100 million just to stay with TNT. Want to get into that as well. Also, Steve watched both episodes 1 and 2 of Hard Knocks last night. I watched episode 2. I want to get Steve's thoughts because he watched them back-to-back. So we'll compare notes and what we thought about Hard Knocks last
Jeffrey,
night. Yes, sir.
I didn't.
Oh, you just watched 2?
Yeah, because, you know, I told you my plan yesterday and you should have laughed at me. Because
that
was part of the plan this morning. Number 2, I am going back and watching number 1.
No, I'm glad you just watched 2 because I have a feeling you liked it more than I did. And so
I did like it.
And I'm telling you, I think if you would have seen 1, it would have changed your opinion. So I'm actually glad that you didn't. So now that we now have a different frame of reference. So we'll discuss Hard Knocks because it was at least another eventful episode. We got nearly 15, 20 minutes of actual football. So that was fun. We'll tell your story, and then we will get out of here. But, Dennis, let's fire it up.
It's that time with Jeffrey and Company, where we either buy, sell, short, or go to Reddit on 92.9.
All right, Steve, it's a very, very unique radio device. I know you've never played anything like buy or sell before, but this all started back, I know a lot of us like try not to think back to where we were during the pandemic, but if you'll recall, during the early days of the pandemic, we had the GameStop AMC stock market short squeeze. The whole game came back to that. It's like, okay, everybody does buy or sell. What was our little flair on it? So we did buy, sell, short, or go to Reddit. Originally, Reddit was a cop-out, so my old co-host didn't have to answer tough questions. So I basically just started bullying him to make him not ever use that option. It essentially boils down to, I'm going to make a statement. You like it, you want to buy it. Most people think of, you don't like it, sell it. I think of it in these terms. You just think, you know what? I don't really want that in my portfolio anymore. I think now's the time to sell. Let's get the value. Maybe I agreed with it once upon a time, but I don't necessarily want it on the books for the future. I don't necessarily hate it, but I just, let's cash out. To me, that's sell. And then short is, I do not agree with this. I want to bet against it. And so therefore, you would short the option. So that's the name of the game. Are you ready to play?
I am, but you might have to bully me.
So. Okay.
Feel free. Open line.
For the record, I will not do the move. I will also answer in addition, but I'm not going to just sit there and play. Here's the toss up and not have to give an opinion. So I will, of course, answer all these as well. Let's start first with an email I got in my inbox. It comes from one of the PR firms. I think Jared Kimball sent it to me. So the title of the email was 2028. Team USA men's basketball rosters. So, buy, sell, short, or go to Reddit. John Morant will be on the men's Olympic team in 2028.
You start me off with an easy one.
Yeah.
Buy. He is on the Olympic team in 2028. That's the optimism in me. Optimism. That's the optimism that I hold.
I'm in complete agreement. I'm buying it. I do think it's interesting, though, when you take a look at the odds. So, now granted, this comes to us from betarizona.com. So I don't imagine they're taking serious action on this. And listen, I love a future as much as the next guy. Four-year out futures, that feels like a pretty volatile market that I'm not exactly eager to dip my toe in. But here's how they break it down. Let's start with the guards because that's obviously what matters. Typically, five guards on the roster is usually what makes it. Devin Booker, 99% chance to make it. Minus 10,000. So you'd have to lay down 10 grand to win $100. Anthony Edwards, also minus 10,000. Essentially, that's a 99% chance for both. Tyrese Halliburton, 85.7% chance, minus 600. Jalen Brunson, 55.5% chance, minus 125. Also at 55.5%, minus 125 is Donovan Mitchell. Tyrese Maxey comes in just ahead, or I should say Tyrese Maxey and Ja tied at 36.4%, plus 175. So if you put 100 down and either make it, you win 175. I think the thing that's really interesting to me about all of this is, number one, do we believe Spoelstra next up? Spoelstra will be the coach, right? Isn't that typically, I know Coach K ruined it for us where it was supposed to be you coached once and then you kind of handed it off, but then Coach K wanted to keep, you know, recruiting and using it as a recruiting tool. So he just held onto the job for like three different Olympics. But typically, I think it's one and done. And so I assume Spoelstra, I think, has been on the staff the longest. I guess you could also make the case that Lou could get it. I know Mark Few's on the staff, but it feels like Spoelstra is the leader and then probably Ty Lue. Would you agree with that?
I'd agree with that. I'd love to see Mark Few get the opportunity. And who knows? I mean, he's never left Gonzaga. That one just baffles me. We know Steve Kerr will not return for 2028, or at least I would think that'd be the case, because be some guys questioning whether or not they want to make that commitment and be on the end of the bench. I say that sort of sarcastically there. But, yeah, I mean, Spoelstra seems logical that he's the next coach, absolutely, for 2028. And it's in Los Angeles. He fits that mold.
So the only argument you could tell me they're going to give it to Ty Lue is we're playing basketball in the brand new Clippers Arena, the Intuit Dome. So I guess you could have that connection, but at the same time, it's entirely. Is he still going to be the coach? I don't know. It's just predicting out that far. I don't know.
Right. Right. And the NBA, it's way too far out. Because all of a sudden it only takes one. He falls out of favor somehow, some way, and he's out of a job. So, Spoelstra is the guy who could sort of, in the next couple of years, say he wins another NBA title. You could see him retiring, but he stays and keeps his ties with yep. USA Basketball.
Yes. But
Ty Lue, if he's out of a job, he's out of two jobs.
I think Spoelstra has like 150 million reasons to keep coaching.
That's a lot of reasons.
It's one of my favorite moves of all time. He waited to sign the deal until his divorce went final. That was a baller move. I'm sorry, he only has 120 million reasons to keep coaching.
What's that contract through?
8 years. I think he just signed it.
Okay.
8 years, so yeah, 120 million. Good work if you can get
it. And that's the system. I mean, he's in place. He's not going anywhere. Pat Riley's a big part of that. But he's just not going anywhere. They've committed to him. He's committed to them. And they're not going to leave money on the table. So, they're locked up. It makes sense that he's the next guy. And again, Nike, all the powers that be.
There we go.
You're talking about something as political can get in the sports world, as Team USA men's basketball.
So for those reasons, that was kind of the other thing I was going through. So I've got no problem with Booker and Edwards kind of being, pardon the pun, shoe-ins.
Yep, makes perfect sense, and the betting line shows that, right?
Yeah. I'd like to just short Halliburton in general. Like, I'm not so sure Halliburton. I don't think Halliburton should have better odds than the guys that are below him. And he has significantly better odds. I know there's kind of a recency bias, whatnot. Donovan Mitchell, I believe, is Adidas. Ja, not only is Ja a Nike athlete, Ja is, of everyone on this list, Ja's the only one with a signature shoe. So to me, it really comes down to, if Ja's healthy, I think he's on the team. And I'm just not going to bet against health 4 years out. So I would want that.
There's one guy who I would bet against making the team. And I thought about this earlier in the week when I knew we would probably hit on NBA and all this. And schedule comes out tomorrow, yes?
We believe so.
Okay. But Jalen Brunson is that guy for me. And I love Jalen Brunson. A few years ago in Bristol, Connecticut, I hosted from Bristol Dallas Mavericks pre and post on radio. I love Jalen Brunson at Villanova. I loved him with the Mavericks. And this year with the Knicks, he was outstanding. I don't think he ages well. So I could see him in 2028 saying thank you, but no thank you. I just don't see body-wise. And I said the same thing about Steph Curry out loud.
Sure.
And I was wrong. And I'm glad I was wrong. But Jalen Brunson, to me, he just takes a beating. I don't know if it's comparable to Allen Iverson, but Iverson took a beating, and that took a toll later in his career. And I just think Brunson is going to be that guy in a few years. If they're in contention for an NBA title that next year, then I think he passes on the Olympics.
I think Brunson probably takes care of his body a little bit better than AI.
But, I agree.
But yeah, to your point, Tibbs really puts mileage on guys.
There you go. There's another part of it. Absolutely.
To me, it really comes down to kind of the political angle. Nike's very much going to be involved. I really think as long as Morant's healthy, I think he's going to be a part of it. Because also, it seems to be the two biggest players in this are the NBA and Nike. And I presume they're going to use, particularly in Olympics in LA, they're going to use it as a marketing tool. And
yep.
I just really think Ja Morant gets on that. You bring up an interesting point, though, with Mark Few. Because as much as I'm a lifelong Coach K hater, and I admittedly I miss him. Like, I just can't. Filipowski and all the Duke media guys, when they tried to end court storming this year, it kind of worked up a lather in me again, but not quite. I mean, there's just nothing like when he's just so smug, sitting on the sideline, preaching class, not shaking hands after he loses.
You are painting the picture for me right now. Yes. You are painting the picture for me.
I kind of don't hate the idea, though, of the college coach, because if you're an NBA guy, it's always going to come across a certain way, right? Like, even if it's not true, like, I do think Steve Kerr was trying to do the best job he could, but you're always just going to have conflicting interests. If you put the college guy on there, like, doesn't it kind of take away some of the conspiracy angles you could come up with?
As I was talking Brunson, I talked myself into, well, what other coaches are out there that I can pose to Jeffrey? Jay Wright?
Maybe that's an interesting thing, because it is funny how we just use NBA coaches largely, or Coach K, but he had an NBA staff, to coach our national team, whereas a lot of other, you know, almost every other national program we have, they're not just going and tapping into their professional market. It's someone coaches the national team. Like, that could be interesting if you did Jay Wright. Like, if Jay Wright really is serious about not wanting to get back into coaching, which I kind of buy, like, he's made his money. He seems to like TV. That could be kind of an interesting way for him to get back in the game. You know, you stay as a coach, but it's low stress. You know, to me, that would be a fascinating angle. I actually don't hate that.
He's going to stay involved with the game, and I think that makes perfect sense. He can. I mean, it's not Bobby Knight in 1984. It's not John Thompson. It's not Chuck Daly in 88, 92. You're not spending, you know, 2 and 3 years to put a roster together. You know sort of what your roster is. We know right now 16, 20 guys. You can narrow it down to, what is the roster size? Is it 15? Is it it's up there. It used to be 1 through, you know, the numbers dictated, yeah, it was 15 was the top number, right?
I want to say it was 12. It was 12 NBA guys, and then we had some, like, college guys that were like filler.
Yep. But I mean, you're not spending, I mean, Grant Hill is spending the next 4 years. Jerry Colangelo did it, but Grant Hill is spending the next 4 years of, you know, how are we putting this out? It's way too early to put feelers out, but you're going to be doing it in 24 months. You're going to be doing it during the 25-26 NBA season of, where are we? Gauging interest. Okay. How are we putting our staff together? And I would imagine the coach gets announced at some point in the next 12 months. And then the play, you know, you almost have to announce the coach before you start reaching out to players, because certainly certain players are going to certainly want to know who the coach is.
Well, then I was thinking about it. If they actually gave it to Jay Wright, and we're wildly speculating, to be clear, does that change how you feel about Brunson?
It would, because I think they go hand in hand.
I do too.
I really do. Jay Wright has phenomenal power over basketball. And I'm not saying that he abuses that power, but people are going to listen to him just like they're going to listen to Mike Krzyzewski. And he's going to have a voice in basketball going forward. He's diplomatic. He knows how to play the game. And his connections, I know him firsthand now. His connections are second to none. And he's a loyal guy, too. I mean, they're all loyal where they want their guys. So Jay Wright's the coach. That tells me, yeah, I'm wrong on my bet. I lose. And Jalen Brunson would be a part of the team in 2028.
What about Dan Hurley?
Ooh. If he was right now the head coach of the Lakers, yes. At UConn, with NBA guys, I mean, think about how many guys he's going to have from UConn that we're going to be talking about for that 2018. There's a couple of guys that, you know, are certainly going to be on the radar if they establish themselves in the NBA game. So, yeah, I mean, that would be an interesting one. I'd say it's more of a no-brainer if he was the coach of the Lakers right now. But if he sticks around at UConn, again, he's going to have some ties, like Jay Wright and his Villanova guys. And these UConn guys are, I would say, are more, you know, yeah, I could see this guy, you know, a handful of names establishing themselves in the next three seasons, and then they are given consideration, serious consideration of making the team. Are they up there with the Bookers and the guys you've rattled off? You know, if Donovan Mitchell makes the team, John Morant, no, but they're going to be the guys, you know, 9 through 12, not, you know, 10 through 15 on the roster.
Yeah, the only thing I'm like kind of talking myself out of it, I don't know if that style is going to work. And I just don't think you can tell Hurley to chill. You know what I mean?
No, you don't think that. You know that.
Yeah, correct. Like, and I say that as someone who, well, A, those fine young men up in Storrs, Connecticut, and their ability to cover a number, like, I cannot say enough good things about the work that they've done over the last 2 years. Like, they've saved my football seasons by being that dominant. Despite,
there's
like
a different level of admiration that you have.
Correct. As much as I love Dan and what he's done for my wallet, I don't know if like that's kind of like that's not really the Team USA coach. You know what I mean?
I think somehow, some way, if they told him you have to tone it down. I mean, hey, let's go back to 1984. Bobby Knight was the head coach.
But isn't he
the present day Bobby Knight?
Isn't the clear difference, though, Knight was coaching college kids?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, to me, like, that's kind of the bigger deal is, and I actually really don't hate this idea. Like, the more and more you think about it, like, I don't know how Spoelstra and how Lou feel about it. I presume, like anything, it's kind of a country club where there's a pecking order, you know what I mean? And so next man up.
Right.
But I really am kind of liking this idea of get Jay Wright in there, because like I have always thought Kerr's a blowhard, and you know, I think you and I could have done pretty well coaching some of those rosters that he had. I think he was trying to do the best job possible. We can nitpick and whatnot. But it just kind of opens yourself up to all the, you know, all the favoritism, questions, criticism, like, oh, he's icing out Tatum or whatnot. Like, I just think if you bring in somebody that doesn't have a legitimate NBA connection, somebody like Jay Wright who's kind of in that mix, I'm finding myself liking that idea more and more.
And I think Jay Wright, and I think he's got ties to USA Basketball.
I know he was on some of those stabs.
Yeah.
I think he was on
with
Pops.
Okay, I believe. Yeah. But, you know, going back to Kerr and Tatum, I mean, was somebody in his ear saying, hey, we've got to get Jason some minutes here? And at that point, did he just dismiss it entirely? I mean, there's more to this story. I mean, you carry this guy on the roster. No, I mean, he's not Christian Laettner from 1992.
Right.
Knowing that he's on the roster. It's Jason Tatum. Do I have the name right? Yes.
Yeah. No, yeah, you do.
Yeah.
I find myself thinking, here's kind of what happened. You don't want to do the move of charity minutes. I think the problem that Tatum had is Tatum got caught up in kind of a wash of, what's the one thing that we have more so than any other team? It's perimeter guys. And Tatum's ISO style, like, he's not as prolific of a scorer as Edwards. And so then you wind up just in these weird spots of whatnot. But like, it always just comes down to this for me. It's like, I know it's not a strict apples to apples comparison because they're not playing the exact same position. But why was Derek White not the person that you sit down and Tatum takes that spot? Like, you get five guys on the floor. It just seemed it seemed to me that there were better answers than what they came up with. Because I think part of the idea of picking Derek White was, hey, if you had to sit somebody, he'd be cool with it.
Right.
But and I think it really boiled
down. Back somebody up. And yeah, it's there's more to it, and I think we do get it eventually. So I'm not a betting guy because I'm not smart enough, but I may call you up first time, Celtics, Warriors, and whatever the number is.
You'd like to lay it?
Number of points. Yeah, and I'm going with the over for Tatum against the Warriors because I'll say right now he's probably going 45. You know, if he's in the 40 range, he's going for 50.
Oh, and
that's going to happen. That's good.
And they're going to let him stay on the floor.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
It's like what Michael Jordan used to do. Hey, tonight, it's a different night.
All right. I want to get your whatever. I want to pick your brain on this one because you're a Jets fan, and so you've seen it since the beginning. All right. We get the news today. J.J. McCarthy, he's going to have the repair of the meniscus. Therefore, he is going to be out for the season. So with that being said, buy, sell short, or go to Reddit. Sam Darnold can have a resurgence just like Baker Mayfield did last year.
There's dead air right now as I think about this, isn't there?
You're fine.
You know what? I'm selling it. I'm not buying that one. Nope. I mean, what's success for Sam Darnold? Staying on the field for the entire regular season and getting to a wild card game?
I think success for Sam Darnold is, if you're saying what's the pass fail, I think pass would be, and maybe if you don't, winning record maybe is pass fail, and then passing plus is probably making that wild card game.
I could see it being a revolving door. I don't know if he's the quarterback. You know, I'm not going to go out and say he's not the quarterback in week five. But no, especially with the fact that, you know, there could be injury. You know, he could go down too.
Yes.
I don't wish that on anybody.
No.
I'm not. I don't want to factor that into that. But no. I mean, what did he do last year? He was a number one fan on the sideline, right?
Yeah, he played. What he played that last
Got
game?
In.
He played that last game when the Rams sat everybody,
right?
And he played the Niners.
I'm
with you. I want to sell this. I don't particularly want to bet against it because I always leave room for Justin Jefferson. And you know what? If he's got one guy, and I think O'Connell does a pretty good job with their offense. So I don't necessarily want to bet against it, but there seems to be this, I think there seems to be this lingering belief that somehow, like, I think people think Baker's worse than he is, and people think Darnold was better than he is. And maybe it's because people subscribe, well, it's the Jets being the Jets and whatnot. It's like, y'all, the Browns did perfectly poorly by Baker as well, too. There's basically about, I don't know, 2,500 snaps that suggest Baker's a better player than Darnold. And I think what we saw with Baker is, Baker got hurt, gets in a bad spot. Coach needs to have a scapegoat to save his own gig. Baker becomes scapegoat. He winds up in Carolina. Carolina's disaster. Well, we quickly saw as soon as you got him out of Carolina, he goes and learns a playbook on a Southwest flight from Carolina to L.A., wins a Thursday night game, 48 hours, like, and then we saw last year, you know, he won a playoff game. And I don't think Darnold's, I think Baker, is Baker clearly like a top 10 quarterback? Probably not, but like, he's clearly an NFL starter. I just don't think Darnold is.
Yeah, and everything you describe right there, Jeffrey, with Baker Mayfield, that's his history.
Yeah,
that's the guy who can just sort of all of a sudden come in. Darnold is the guy over the course of his career, everything's got to be perfect, almost. You know, everything's got to be ideal. If, you know, the ankle hurts a little bit, you know, I'm just looking at his numbers. I mean, he's still only 26 years old, but no, I mean, he's going to make money, 27, he just turned 27. He's going to make money over the next 5 to 8 years because someone, you know, he'll be that backup. But you know, now you want him in for a full season? I don't see it. And I feel bad for the Vikings too because they're losing a huge year in development.
They are. I do also though. I think they're doing the right thing. You know, meniscus is one of those weird injuries where there's a couple of different options. I think they're smart by just saying, you know what? Yeah, we could do the shave and we could maybe get him back. This is our guy of the future. Like, let's not take the chance. Like, let's do this the right way. Let's repair it and let's get him back. Like, I think that was smart. To your point, though, about Darnold, I know this is dumb of me, but I admit that sports are kind of dumb. I will never forget this anecdote of Darnold during the draft process where he was he had to screenshot bad games of Tom Brady, like the stats of Tom Brady, and kind of remind himself, like, hey, even Tom Brady does. I know this is stupid, but it's like, I don't want my quarterback, like, I want my quarterback having irrational self-confidence, not self-doubt. And I think maybe that makes Sam probably a better human being, that, like, he's showing, like, hey, you know, this is, I go through these same thoughts, but it's like, I don't really think Tom Brady was ever screenshotting bad games from Joe Montana and being like, see, you know what I mean? Like, I think Brady just always had that irrational self-confidence. And that's just, like, I think Darnold's kind of the poster child of looks. If you're watching him in shorts and t-shirts, you're probably convinced that he's awesome. But There's just so much more that goes into the game than how do you get into your drop and how do you throw the football in air. Like, I think you're right. I think he's going to be a guy that's going to hold a clipboard for a really long time, make really good money, and he's like the perfect ideal backup quarterback. But I don't think this is going to be some type of resurgence here.
I mean, just looking at his third season and revisiting the Jets' disastrous 2020, I mean, you know, contract, career as a starting quarterback for, you know, what you want as a playoff contending team, 2-10 record.
Yeah.
Expectations through the roof and a 2-10 record in that third year. At that point in time, and this is one for me, again, it goes back to, it's now a 50-50 proposition for me. These guys, we mentioned it yesterday, of they're not finished products for the most part coming into the NFL. They're just not. And you said, you know, it's not the job of the college to, you know, to make them ready to go from day one of the NFL season. But they're being thrown in there because of the dollars. And, you know, the agent wants the clock to start ticking. Hey, get them in there. And we want to get closer and closer to that first big contract. And Darnold, this is an outsider's view. Darnold and Zach Wilson, both, the team failed those quarterbacks, and the quarterbacks failed as well because they may, and even go back to Mark Sanchez, it was like false hustle, or I love the term eyewash.
Yeah.
They're really working hard. They're doing this, they're doing that. But are they really, you know, it's one thing to work hard, but are you working hard the right way? And I don't know that these quarterbacks were doing that away from the team over the years. And the Jets are the prime example for me because it's been agony of watching, you know, Sanchez, short-term success, adjustments, and boom, gone on TV, telling us what's going on in front of us.
Yeah, I'm with you. All right, we'll save two more for later. We'll get into those during the list, but let's take a quick break. When we come back, let's talk some college football. We'll do that with David Cobb. Fun little head-to-head season win total bet between the Tigers and the Vols. It's over at ESPN Bet. Let's discuss it with Cobb next, right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at MyBob's.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Cobb, I'm not... CBS, are y'all DraftKings, FanDuel? Do y'all have a partnership right now?
That's a fantastic question, Jeffrey. I never really know.
I feel like everybody's like, yeah, we're rotating. It's like, I don't know, whoever comes on this fall.
Well, so if you're alluding to the win totals piece that I did on college football at CBS Sports, I just shopped around, which is something I've never gotten to do before for this piece because we've always had
a partnership. Yeah.
Right. But the beauty of it this year was, I didn't go nuts. I didn't go full blood Elliott like spreadsheet on it. But I mean, I had two or three books up, and I picked the juice and the totals that I liked the best, and that's what we went with.
I'm actually not referring to that, but you do bring up a good point. I think Bud has some software where he literally has like every book comes up so that like if he sees something he wants to play. No. I bring this up because I was scrolling through ESPN Bet today, and over on their college football specials, they had a couple of head-to-heads. And there was one that caught my eye. Head-to-head, most regular season wins. The University of Memphis, -115. The University of Tennessee, -115. Keep in mind, this is not like who goes to the playoff. It's just straight up. More regular season wins. And I was like, oh, that's tasty.
Why they gotta do us like that? Now you puts me in a really tough spot. Like these Memphis versus Tennessee.
Okay,
debates.
I'm not even being a homer. Isn't the right answer to go Memphis just because like Memphis is gonna be favored in more games?
Well, that does make sense. The win totals in Vegas on Tennessee are more like 8.5 or 9. You're not seeing anything at 8.5 on Memphis. Everything is 9 or 9.5, right?
So yeah, I mean, I think at one point you could get 8 juiced massively to the over, but yeah, I haven't seen that in a very long time.
Yeah, you know, I think it might be Memphis. I think that might be the safer play because if you look at Tennessee, there's more room for error there when you got Georgia, even in a worst-case scenario, you could lose to Florida. Like, we're talking about Florida, like Florida stinks, but Florida is still a good – there's still good players on that team. They might go 5-7, but they might be the best 5-7 team in the country, and one of those wins could be against Tennessee, you know? So there's little tricky games like that Tennessee has, whereas, like, Memphis has a larger or a higher floor, let's say that. I think Memphis has a higher floor. So if I were forced to pick between the two, I'd probably pick Memphis.
Yeah, because I'm with you. Like, yes, Florida is likely to not go to a bowl game based on their schedule. But if I told you, hey, that team's physical, they figure out, you know, they cut down on the turnovers, they kind of play an old school, like run the ball control, play physical defense, like I can see a world where they go 7-5. Like, it's not insane.
And then how about this? What if Tennessee, like, messes around at Arkansas? Like, that's not one that anyone is talking about, and for good reason. We think Arkansas is going to be bad. But that is a road SEC game against a team not named Vanderbilt. So I don't mean – if you're playing on the road in the SEC against somebody not named Vanderbilt, like, there's always a chance, like, that you could lose that game. So, I mean, that – yeah, you know, that's another one that jumps out there too. Is like, you know, we're all putting that one in the win column, but there's a world in which, you know, Tennessee messes around and gets bit at Arkansas.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I'm kind of doing the move now where I'm kind of questioning all the kind of thoughts that I had coming into the season. You know, kind of testing yourself. I like that you brought up Arkansas. I think quietly, I'm not talking like 9 or 10 wins, but I think we're under this assumption that, you know, we're going to be talking about the next Arkansas football coach come, you know, middle of October, early November. I kind of talked myself into Arkansas being better than we think this year.
Wouldn't be at all shocked if they pull a couple of upsets. Really, the question is 6-6 good enough to save Sam Pittman's job? Because I think they can do that, even though the odds are, you know, the win totals around the country are saying 4.5. 6 is doable for Arkansas. I mean, they could beat Oklahoma State. They could sneak past a Texas A&M. Like, there's games on this schedule that they can win. So it's just a matter of, like, in that whole conversation about the Razorbacks, like, the assumption is Sam Pittman is getting fired, but what if they exceed their projected win total by 1.5 and they get back to a bowl? Are we still firing Sam Pittman? Because, you know, what are we supposed to expect from Arkansas in this SEC when they are surrounded literally on all sides by premier programs? So, I mean, for me, I think 6-6 will be a really good season for Arkansas, and I think they're definitely capable of doing that. I think they have enough talent, and I think Sam Pittman is enough of a motivator to get them to go out there and win 6 ball games.
Yeah, because the other thing I keep thinking about is, A, I think Petrino is going to be a massive upgrade. And also, unlike with Jimbo and Petrino, I have full faith that Sam Pittman's not going to really meddle with Petrino. He's going to basically let him run the offense. I'm not convinced that Taylen Green is a for sure upgrade over KJ, but I acknowledge KJ has limitations. Like, if I'm asking KJ to throw it 30 to 35 times a game without a running game, I don't think that's utilizing KJ to the best of his abilities. But, like, I think offensive line play, they're going to be better. That defense, like, it kind of gets masked because they had a few games where they just kind of quit. Defense wasn't all that bad last year. Like, I've just kind of talked myself into we're writing them off maybe a little too soon. Like, I think we're lumping them into the category of Vanderbilt, Mississippi State, and I don't think they belong there.
Oh, no, totally agree. To me, there's a clear, like, bottom of the SEC that includes Vandy and Mississippi State. I think Arkansas is closer to that South Carolina tier where it's, all right, you know, we should expect this team to make a bowl. But I don't think around the country they're being looked at in that way. I think they're being looked at as a bottom-tier team with Mississippi State, with Vanderbilt. That's, I don't think, fair. The other part about Arkansas that interests me or excites me a little bit, they've actually, like, got a lot of returning production in that receiver room, and I think Bobby Petrino might be able to scheme to some of those guys' skill sets. I mean, last year that room looked like a totally random hodgepodge collection of transfers.
Yeah.
And you wondered if they were going to stick around or if they'd be any good. Well, I mean, there was at least some pop in there, and all those guys are back. There's a ton of skill production that's back, which I think gives them a chance to keep up, you know, in the SEC on nights when maybe their defense isn't at its best. So, I mean, yeah, I'm willing to go over on Arkansas. It's not on my win totals, but I'd be willing to go over 4.5 for sure on the Razorbacks.
The other thing, I was jotting down notes last night of, like, betting strategies. I think I've talked myself into, I think I just want to blindly bet Mississippi State overs. because I think Lebby's going to put every good athlete he has on offense. They're going to try to run as fast as they can. I don't think their defense is going to be very good. And I feel like it's going to be like when Lane and Lebby first got to Ole Miss, it was just like, just blindly take the over. Like, you know what I mean? And I'm historically an unders better, but I've just talked myself into that. Like, I feel like their hallmark is going to be, we're just going to try to score as much as possible.
Yeah, how about a Blake Shapen, like, massive Hail Mary odds for the Heisman Trophy because he might throw for 5,000 yards.
7,500 yards.
Right, yeah, no, I love it. That's going to be their MO for sure, which I think is great. Like, if you think about Mississippi State's success over the years, it's when they've had a innovative offensive mind at head coach Dan Mullen, Mike Leach. And, Joe Moorhead, I guess, had lost some of his luster by the time he got there. But no, I think you gotta step on the gas and do something unique or special when you're at a place like Mississippi State. And like the way that Jeff Lebby is going to run that thing, they're going to spread it around, chuck it around, go up tempo. And I mean, it works. Like, it's proven that system works. It works for Josh Heupel at Tennessee. It's helped them turn that program around pretty quickly. I just think the rebuild at Mississippi State is going to be a little bit of a longer runway. I don't think we're going to see a bowl in year one or a massive 9, 10, 11 win season in year two. I just think because of where they're at from a talent standpoint, like, it might just take a minute for Mississippi State to kind of get past all the roster churn that was associated with the disaster of what happened, obviously, with Coach Leach and then Zach Arnett, and then now you're regrouping again. Like, it's going to take a minute, but like, I do believe Jeff Lebby will get it going there.
Yeah, if you're a State fan and you're thinking about bowl, you have to go 4-0 in non-con, no questions asked. Like, you can't go slip up at Arizona State, that might be one of the few power teams that you're going to have a better roster than. Like, you can't slip up there. And then you've got to get two out of the collection of Florida, Arkansas, Tennessee, Missouri, Ole Miss. And it's like, for that to happen, you need, you know, you've got to, I guess, beat Arkansas. Like, you basically need two of those teams to kind of fall apart, like, and lose what they're playing for, and you catch them like on a sleepy day. To me, that's your path to a bowl.
Right. I mean, heck, at Mississippi State, like, you never know. Last year was their first year they missed a bowl since 2009. I mean, that's ridiculous. Like, the Mississippi State that I grew up with was just a very much an afterthought. Like, after Jackie Sherrill, I mean, it was kind of cool. Like, Sylvester Croom went to, what, one or two bowls in his tenure there. And, you know, you just didn't have any expectations for Mississippi State in the late 90s, really, and early 2000s. And then the fact that they went, what, 12, 13 years in a row making bowls is wild. But that's only going to get more difficult for them in this era, because with the SEC being the way it is, and, you know, the talk of eventually going to 9 league games, like, they're one of those programs that could really struggle to make bowls. But when you got a scheme and a system like what Jeff Lebby has, the type of scheme and system that, you know, are going to help you attract really high caliber quarterbacks and high caliber receivers, like, you're going to have a fighting chance. So I like it that they're going that route, and they're not trying to, you know, they're not hiring some former Kirby Smart assistant to come in there and try and replicate Georgia's system at a place that you just can't do that at Mississippi State. So I like the direction they went with the hire for sure.
All right, it happens every year. I think last year it was Ole Miss and Missouri. I think both of their win totals were like 7.5. They smash it. If you got to pick a team that's going to smash their win total in the SEC, who are you picking?
I think Auburn. I mean, they've got a shot.
I hate to hear that.
Right? I mean, I know you're the biggest Hugh Freeze fan.
Well,
you saw
where he should be 4-0 against Nick, right?
yeah, sometimes less is more with Hugh Freeze.
By the way, he pointed out that they were up 24-3 in that game. At half, it was 24-17. Also, in the fourth quarter, they were down 18 points in said game.
Well, they almost had him, Jeffrey.
Yeah, they had him on the ropes.
If there had been some lightning, you know, maybe the game would have been called.
Yeah, that's it.
I don't know. I mean, I'm curious about Auburn. We're putting a lot of faith in a freshman receiver in Cam Coleman and in a very, you know, kind of iffy transfer in Keandre Lambert-Smith at receiver. But This is Auburn. It kind of feels like anything is possible for coaches in their second year there. You know, this is typically a time when, you know, unless you're Brian Harsin, you tend to have some early success if you're a coach of any repute at Auburn early in your tenure. And, you know, here he is, you know, 1 year removed from almost beating Alabama. I mean, it's like Auburn is such a chaos team because this is a team that lost at home to New Mexico State and then turned around and almost upset an Alabama team that went to the college football playoff. So which version of Auburn are we going to get? I don't think this is their chips all in, like, hey, we got to win this year type of season. But it could be a year of pretty significant progress. So, you know, I wouldn't shut the door on an 8 or 9 win season for Auburn.
Yeah, I think they're pot committed to next year being the year, the judgment year, because this is in even number years are the years that they get Georgia and Alabama on the road. And so you're already just kind of starting off 0-2. But, I mean, to your point, they should be, their non-con is Alabama, A&M, Cal, New Mexico, not New Mexico State, and Monroe. So there's four. You get Vandy, you get Arkansas. To me, their season swings on at Kentucky, at Missouri, A&M, Oklahoma. Like, what do they do in those games?
Right, yeah, Auburn and Oklahoma and Kentucky are two that I have a hard time getting a read on.
Yeah,
for this season, I mean, with Kentucky, you got Brock Vandegrift coming in. How good is he? Is he a potential star who just got stuck behind Carson Beck, who might be a top 15 draft pick?
Or heck, he could be the number one pick, man.
I mean, could be, right? Or is he a scrub that, you know, was never going to play there, even if Carson Beck had declared, right? Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know the answer. I mean, I think it's probably that he's a really good quarterback and that he's, you know, an NFL caliber talent himself. That's what the recruiting rankings would suggest. And he was always, you know, there in the mix to be the backup at Georgia. So, hey, maybe he goes to UK and just totally pops off. Maybe Kentucky's sort of that surprise team from the middle of the pack. But, I mean, if I were choosing Auburn or Kentucky, I feel a little better about Auburn being that team.
I was trying to see last year. Inevitably, we always have a team that the win total's too high. It really wasn't insane last year. State's win total was 6.5. Carolina's was 6.5. A&M's was 8.5. Like, to me, the question is, who's somebody that finishes, like, 2 wins away from their win total?
There could be some surprises in that category. I mean, because look at what's expected of so many teams. Like, you've got Georgia, Texas, Alabama, Ole Miss, all LSU even, all expected to be playoff contenders, 10-win types of teams. People think that Missouri and Tennessee could do that. Like, so there's going to be some disappointed faces in the SEC. Missouri would be probably my pick, and they're getting love at around 9.5. Which I get because of their schedule. Like, their schedule is a joke.
Yeah.
Like, in the best way possible if you're a Missouri fan. I mean, even the non-con is bad. Your marquee non-conference opponent is Boston College, and they're in year one under Bill O'Brien, and they're coming down to your place. So, I mean, when that's your toughest non-con, and then you don't have to play Georgia, you don't have to play Texas, like, that's about as soft as it gets for Missouri from a scheduling standpoint. So, I mean, I get why their total is where it's at, but when you replace multiple NFL draft picks on the defensive side of the ball, and then you lose your stud coordinator and Blake Baker, I mean, there could be a pretty serious drop-off on that side of the football. And then you factor in the close game luck. I mean, Harrison Meeves hits a, what, 61-yard field goal last year
for them
to win that Kansas State game. I mean, that kind of stuff doesn't happen every year, and so you get some of that close game luck go the other way now. You know, we could be talking about Missouri as a 7-win team versus a preseason total of 9.5.
Yeah, that Topmeyer's point was he thinks that Missouri was, and it's like, hey, this is why we play football. We keep score for a reason. But he really feels like it was like an 8-win team that masked itself as a 10-win team.
Very well could be. I love the over principle that you have for Mississippi State. I love that for Missouri, too. Because with Luther Burden and Mookie Cooper and Theo Weiss and these guys, like, they are going to put up points. They haven't forgotten how to score, but
well, Andy, you don't have Schrader to chew the clock.
Yeah, so you got to go with Timber.
Yeah.
You got to throw it. So, hey, maybe they have forgotten how to play defense, though. So, I'd be real interested in some Missouri overs, especially in that first month of the season where, like, I could see Thomas Castellanos at Boston College just randomly going off for 350 yards passing, 100 yards rushing, and 5 total touchdowns, and Missouri winning that game like 45-35 or something.
Castellanos might be, like, my favorite bad quarterback in college football. He, like, dude leaves it on the field. Like, every play, he plays it like it's his last. He's just, God bless him, he is just limited from a gift, from a skill set.
Right, but now you get him with Bill O'Brien? I mean, I don't know.
Oh, now we're cooking. It took me, I think when I was kind of like in July, when I was like scrounging through, like, all right, it's college football time, I had forgotten Bill O'Brien was the head coach at Boston College, and I'd forgotten that Will Rogers is going to be the starting quarterback at Washington.
That one is wild to me, the fact that Will Rogers...
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.